Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what is your relationship with the elephant?
I kind of think of them as this kind ambassador to the animal world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially for kids. It's kind of like the gateway to wonderful creatures with what we think of as quite a few merits.
Yeah, I mean, kids seem to be really obsessed with elephants. I mean, my son especially is crazy for them. Yeah, he'll see a picture of an elephant, and he'll go, elephant, rrr, because he'll raise his arm like it's a trunk, and go, rrr, like the trumpeting noise. And we'll say it multiple times. Sometimes he'll say it when there are no elephants around, just in celebration of
them. Just thinking about elephants.
Yeah, or thinking he's an elephant. And then if he actually gets to see one in real life, it's just all the crazier. We're just looking at pictures of him. He goes nuts. And indeed, they're unlike any animal. I mean, you have this large, the largest living land creature.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're imposing in that respect, but they have this peaceful air to them as well, most of the time. They have this trunk that is, that again is unlike, like just about anything else you see in the animal world.
Yeah, and I think it's because that trunk is so expressive.
Yes, it does. It has a lot of emotion to it. It's reaching around. It's grabbing things.
Mm-hmm.
They're manipulating water with it, and their eyes are very peaceful as well. So we can't help but empathize with the elephant on a very basic level. That there's something just kind of sweet and comforting about them, and children especially seem in tune to this.
Yeah, and in terms of folklore, they have long been associated with courage and wisdom. In
mm-hmm.
fact, if you...
Creativity?
Creativity. If you look at Hinduism, you'll see the origin of the elephant as a symbol of good luck.
Oh, yeah, Ganesha.
Ganesha. Mm-hmm. The luck god, the remover of obstacles.
Yep, I have a Ganesha right here. Bam. I always carry one in my pocket.
Oh, my gosh, guys, if you could see this, he just produced Ganesha.
Yep.
Just threw it on the table.
Yep.
Proof. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, these are really important to us, just as an idea of what an animal is. And as is kind of a mirror to ourselves. I mean, we can't help but empathize with them.
Yeah, and humans, there are many cases of humans forging strong emotional bonds with elephants. And there are a number of wonderful conservation efforts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll mention some of those at the end of the show, if particular efforts that you might be interested in reading more about and potentially supporting in some shape or another. But in mentioning the conservation and in mentioning the emotional bonds between human and elephant, that kind of leads to the large number of negatives here. Because,
yeah,
of course, when humans are interacting on a daily basis with an elephant, it means that elephant is in captivity and perhaps used for labor, perhaps put in an enclosure in a zoo, mm-hmm. generally that's going to be way too small for it. When we're talking about conservation efforts, those conservation efforts are in place due to the what we have done to the elephant's natural habitat,
mm-hmm.
and what we have done to decrease their numbers in the wild.
Yeah, so a couple things. So as you already mentioned, there's the captivity angle. And
mm-hmm.
so we typically see an elephant at the zoo, right? And Fred Berkovich of the San Diego Zoo writes that in Africa, elephants can cover over 50 miles or 80 kilometers in a day if food is scarce, but rarely walk that far. More often, they cover a few miles during the day, and they sometimes spend most of their time near a water source. Now, contrast that with 2,200 square feet. That is the amount of space that is recommended by the American Zoological Association. Joyce Poole, she is the research director of the Amboseli Elephant Research Project, writes, "Just a thought, by AZA logic, that's the Zoological Association, we might suggest that human beings, being about 2% the body weight of an elephant, would do just fine living in 44 square feet if we were provided food, water, and a breeding partner."
Mm.
So we begin to look at that, and then you begin to look at the whole poaching situation and consider that we have lost 60% of forest elephants in the Congo Basin due to poaching during the first decade of the century. And she says at that rate, they could go extinct in 10 years. And then we, of course, have seen the recent violence in the Central African Republic. And that is, there's a ton of poaching going on there just to fund military operations.
Yeah, and then you have plenty of examples too of elephants coming into conflict with farmers,
mm-hmm.
because here you have, it's a tough situation because you have farmers that are trying to farm this small area of land, grow crops to feed their family, make money, and then the elephants come through. The elephants, each adult elephant is going to need somewhere between 300 and 400 pounds of food per day. And they're going to make short work of a small human farm, and they tend to be pretty destructive in their style of eating. If you've ever seen a footage of elephants, just pushing over trees to get to the greens, that's their style, and so they can really tear a farm apart in very short order. So you end up with humans and elephants coming into conflict in that situation.
Yeah, and that's habit loss, right? I mean,
yeah.
You would probably do the same thing if you lost a good deal of your land, you would move on to another area, and then, of course, that's where the conflict with humans comes into play.
Yeah, because they tend to eat grasses, leaves, bamboo, bark, roots, but if there's a crop of bananas, if there's a crop of sugar cane or what have you, they're going to go for that. Now, to throw out a few more numbers here, to just put this in perspective about where elephant populations are.
Mm-hmm.
According to defenders of wildlife, at the turn of the 20th century, there were a few million African elephants and about 100,000 Asian elephants. Today, there are an estimated 450,000 to 700,000 African elephants and between 35,000 and 40,000 wild Asian elephants, with the Asian elephant being, far more on the endangered end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and we should keep in mind, too, that the average lifespan of an elephant in the wild is 60 to 70 years.
Yeah.
So when we start to think about that, we begin to see them, the devastating effects of poaching and habitat loss and captivity in some areas, then you can't help but anthropomorphize them and begin
yeah.
to think, oh, they live for 70 years. It's on par with what humans are living to. What else is similar to humans? How else do they really differ from other mammals?
Now, I mentioned African and Asian elephants earlier. That's an important distinction. There are two major species of elephant. There's the African elephant, and we can divide those into two subspecies, the savanna and the forest. And while the Asian elephant On the other hand, we can divide that into four subspecies: Sri Lankan, Indian, Sumatran, and Borneo. Now, how can you tell one from the other? Well, it's pretty simple once it's been pointed out to you. Julie?
Well, this is kind of neat. The African elephants, actually, their ears are shaped like the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with the Asian elephants, their ears are smaller.
Yeah, the African elephant's ears look like they're made for sailing on the high seas. And the Asian elephant's ears are more sort of floppy and subdued and smaller.
Yeah, you know what's really cool about those ears, too, is besides being able to pick up on noise and sound, they have tons of tiny veins that transect their surfaces, and they carry blood to the rest of the body, and they act like a cooling system.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. An elephant's ear is essentially there to cool the body. It's kind of like the big fins you would see on some of these prehistoric dinosaurs, mm-hmm. you know, where it's all about getting the blood vessels up into a surface that can be used to cool.
Yeah, so if you see them flapping their ears over and over again on a hot day, that's them just mm-hmm. trying to cool themselves down. And, of course, their trunks.
Their trunks, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, when they're born, we're talking about how instantly we attach emotionally to elephants. Even more so if you see a baby elephant. Elephant is among the most adorable things you could possibly look at. And when they're born, though, their trunks don't really have any muscle tone, so they just kind of flop around, and they're evidently nursed just straight up with their mouths.
Yeah, and they're just, again, we talked about it before, they're so adaptable, those trunks. They're used to smell, to mm-hmm. breathe, to drink, to retrieve food, to trumpet, and, as we'll talk a little bit more about in a second, caress. But before we do so, let's talk a little bit about elephant intelligence.
Yes, elephants are, of course, extremely intelligent. They have memories that span years. That old adage, an elephant never forgets. Mm-hmm. Well, it's based in truth. They have long memories, and they need those long memories because, we mentioned earlier about how vast their range tends to be.
Yeah.
So you'll have a herd of elephants that's led by a matriarch, and they're having to go across, just vast stretches of land, and they're going to have to remember, like, where's the water?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the good food? Where the good eats? Where should I not go? Like, where's an area that might be certain death? To venture into.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, that requires quite a bit of memory. It turns out the elephants can hear one another's trumpeting calls up to 5 miles or 8 kilometers away. And according to biologist Andrea Turcolo, who is part of the Elephant Listening Project, a very, very cool project, the females do most of the talking. There's no syntax in their language, so there's no evidence that they form sentences, but they can recognize each other's voices. In fact, they can identify at least 100 other individual elephants by voice, and this was borne out in a sound playback experiment by Karen McComb, who is an animal psychologist at the University of Sussex in the UK.
Now, one interesting thing about those trumpeting communications that the elephants use, they can communicate over these long distances also by producing a subsonic rumble that can travel through the ground faster than through the air.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen like an old Western where like a Native American tracker is putting his ear to the ground, because sound waves are going to move faster through the ground. It's a similar situation. So other elephants then receive the messages through the sensitive skin on their feet and on their trunks. And it's believed this is how potential mates and social groups communicate.
Yeah, and just so you know how sensitive their skin is, they can detect a fly landing on it.
Yeah.
So there's quite a level of sensitivity there. And I wanted to also mention that Elephant Listening Program has been in the works since 1999 and has delivered some really intriguing data on elephant communication that really helps us to better understand the social bonds that elephants have with one another. Now, in terms of numerical skills, elephants actually outperform great apes, chimps, and human children at the task of figuring out the quantity of something that is put in a bucket. And in fact, their understanding or their number sense is so nuanced that they can easily tell the difference between 5 and 6 rocks, for instance.
Wow.
As opposed to something pretty easy like 1 and 2.
Now, that's interesting because we've talked in the past about algorithmic thinking in young children. And their way of understanding numbers is that they might not be able to tell the difference between 5 and 6.
Yes.
They could tell the difference between 6 and 3. Three Cheerios is definitely less than 6.
Uh-huh.
But 5 Cheerios versus 6 Cheerios, I don't know. I'll just take whichever hand is, comes out to me first.
So, yeah, I mean, elephants can distinguish to that degree. It's pretty amazing.
Now, that's one way to look at elephant intelligence, but to really get into the guts of it, you have to start looking at their society and their communication within that society.
Yeah, really at the core of elephant society, we're talking about matriarchs, who are the oldest elephants in families with complex social relationships.
Yeah, you'll have a herd that is it's led by the oldest, often the largest female, and it's just going to be an all-female herd with some young ones in there that they're all sort of collectively looking after, though, of course, with the actual mom for that elephant providing most of the care and assistance. Meanwhile, the male elephants, they tend to be just loners out there roaming on their own. Occasionally, they'll take up with another male or so.
Yeah, you get some bachelor pods from time to time.
But for the most part, it's just, you know, they're doing their own thing. And it kind of comes back to what we've talked about before when it comes to the gender divide in a species, that the female is the species, and the male is just necessary for reproduction.
Well, it's kind of that whole takes a village concept because the females typically remain with their families their whole lives, and they rear their calves alongside their mothers, grandmothers, sisters, and aunts, and they all help to take care of the calves. And this is really cool, too. These elephant families are really fluid in their association patterns, meaning that not all members are together all of the time.
Yeah.
So if a food source is scarce, that means that a couple of them might pair off and then meet up later on.
And, you know, it works out for genetic diversity that the males are separate anyway, because you have this, you know, a close-knit group of females that are all related. You need the genes, you need some extra genes to come in from outside of that community, and thus these loners out there on the outskirts.
Yeah, and it's also interesting that the females do a lot of the talking. And I think that ties back to the matriarch and, again, the raising of the calves. So, of course, it would make sense that among elephant chatter, you hear more female voices trying to coordinate what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. And particularly the matriarch, if food is scarce and they really have to figure out directions and where they're going to go, then the matriarch is usually the person who tries to coordinate that effort.
Now, of course, one part of being in a community of humans is that we are self-aware of our place in that community. And it seems that it's a similar situation for the elephant. Elephant is one of the very few, creatures, aside from humans, that can pass a self-awareness test. We've talked about this in the past, I believe, with a few other animals, but the elephants can recognize themselves in a mirror. The only other animals that can really pull this off, humans, apes, dolphins, and based on some arguments, you could say that an octopus can do this, but you have to have a very different type of test for them because their brains are so different. And even among, humans, apes, and elephants, I mean, the elephant's brain is different from an ape or a human's brain, in some respects. You know, you can never do a one-to-one when you're comparing the human brain to another species. But when they look at themselves in the mirror, They quickly realize that they are looking at themselves. They'll look behind the mirror, and then it'll quickly descend into them sort of goofing off, like, what happens if I put my trunk in my mouth while I'm looking in the mirror? What if I do this? What if I do that?
It's a trunk mustache.
Yeah, but it's essential to note that they are self-aware. They're not just this animal out there sort of encased in the mud of existence. They know they exist, and that should really carry more weight when we think about what elephants are and how we interact with them.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we are going to talk about the self-awareness, this sort of society, these rich bonds that elephants have, and how they actually exhibit a very human phenomenon called emotional contagion.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O, allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Emotional contagion. We see different examples of this with humans over and over again. You can be, you know, at a party and there's this emotional contagion going on depending on, you know, how someone is acting and how people are looking to others to respond to that. Should they join in on whatever behavior is being exhibited?
Oh, yeah. I think we've all definitely been a part of those sort of social conversations where the conversation is in a kind of a medium zone, and then somebody kind of takes the wheel and it's increasingly going into uncomfortable territory, and you feel that need to step in and change the subject, move, you know, pull the vehicle back on the road.
Yeah. And so what you see here is that this very kind of human thing is happening among elephants, this emotional contagion. Researcher Josh Plotnick of the University of Cambridge in the UK studied the behavior of 26 elephants in captivity over the course of a year, and he found that when an elephant would show distress, the other elephants would adopt that same emotional state.
An example of this distress would be, in this case, like thinking they saw a snake in the grass, you know, something that's
exactly.
a definite potential, you know, danger to the elephant community, and they're going to react. And then that emotional state quickly spreads to the other elephants. You're concerned? Well, I'm concerned too. What are you concerned about?
And they would act just as a human would. They swiftly go to each other, right? And they touch each other's faces, and I don't think humans do this, genitals, and they put trunks in each other's mouth and they chirp. They're trying to make some very soothing chirping noises to say it's all right.
Huh. Yeah, and this is really important because, you know, there are a number of cases of observed empathy in elephants. There was a 2003 study from Catherine Payne's Elephant Listening Project we mentioned earlier, observed a dying calf elect numerous responses both from its own family and others in the herd. There's a 2006 paper that looked at behavioral reactions of elephants towards a dying and deceased matriarch. But this empathy study with these 26 captive elephants, it provides us a little like more sort of hard evidence for empathy, for this emotional contagion, and you need that because again we've talked before about how humans anthropomorphize anything, and there's already a lot that's human-like in the elephant. So we have to be careful when studying them not to just heap on the rest of our human baggage and start, you know, putting on little hats.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about our penchant for just trying to turn anything into a smiley face, even if it's an inanimate object. But then I thought, too, in some of these cases, it's so very clear that the behavior, or it seems mm-hmm. very clear, that the behavior is spelling out these sort of community-bonded social phenomena that you would see within humans, within the human tribe. But again, it's very difficult to quantify that in a scientific way.
Yeah.
And that's why, as you say, this experiment with the 26 elephants is so important because it does give the scientific community some sort of foothold in that arena. But it's hard to reenact a lot of what people anecdotally see. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is this idea of grieving elephants, and not just elephants grieving for one another, but this case of someone named Lawrence Anthony. Now, he was a conservationist and an author known as the Elephant Whisperer. And in 2012, he had a heart attack. Now, he had taken a group of wild elephants and he had rescued them and rehabilitated them. On the day that he died, they traveled something like 12 hours to reach his house, and they had not been to his home in 18 months. And so, of course, people who saw this began to construe this as the elephants keeping vigil. They actually hung out for 2 days at his home. And again, the problem here is how do you take a scientific lens to this? You can't reenact this experiment.
Right. And I mean, if you were to play the critic here, you could say, well, the elephants move around a lot anyway, and if they have long memories, as we mentioned earlier, so it's in, you know, of course they would come back to a place they'd been to before where they had, you know, presumably received, some comfort, maybe even food, what have you.
That's true. And another interesting account involving memory and place has to do with South Africa in the late 20th century at Kruger National Park.
Yes, this is where they were culling the elephant population. So they were having some attempt to conserve the elephants, but they were afraid that if the elephant population grew too large, then it would be increasingly difficult to look after them.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in there and they started culling, whole groups of elephants. And they found that after this had happened, after the blood had hit the ground, that the elephant families in the park knew not to go back there. Like they equated that area with death and with danger. Even if that area ended up having some very tempting vegetation, they knew that, all right, the food looks good there, but that is a place of death. That is where the humans kill us.
Yeah. Now, immediately after the culling operation, and this was actually after the rangers cleaned up the area and they removed mm-hmm. all the bodies, the elephant families did come to the scene and they inspected it. They smelled the earth. And then they say they never returned to that, mm-hmm. as you say. And so some of the ideas here are, well, perhaps the screams of terror were the tip off here. And of course, the smell would have been another tip off. But yeah, again, even when it was a habitable area, they never went back to it. It was as if that earth had been stained and they knew it.
Yeah, the earth has been stained. That's the that's the what really has been driven home for me as we've researched this podcast. Because in the elephant, you have a creature that is self-aware, that is capable of empathy, and has a very strong argument for personhood. Like, you know, we're talking about giving a level of rights that we ascribe to a human. If we were to ascribe that outside of the human community, like the elephant would be a certifiable candidate for that. And yet we have treated them so harshly throughout human history and continue to treat them harshly today, even though, again, we have some wonderful conservation programs.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful efforts out there, and there are some people who devote their lives to caring for elephants and to changing the you know, the course of their fate. But, it's rough when you really look at what they are and how we've treated them.
Well, and the problem, I think, is that in order for elephants to continue to exist on Earth, humans really have to change their behavior. And it's not just humans stopping poaching. It's all tied to politics.
Yeah.
And to socioeconomics as well. And again, to our really bad habit of taking land and converting it for uses that really, in the long run, aren't going to do us any good and aren't going to do wildlife any good.
Yeah, now there on the farmland front, there have been some efforts to use sort of like spice compounds
mm-hmm.
To treat the area around farms to keep the elephants from coming in and eating the crops. And apparently those efforts have proven pretty successful where they've been applied.
Yeah, and I mean, there, as you say, there are conservation groups that are doing a great job, and we should definitely mention them because I think that this is going to make the difference in the long run about what we can do about the situation.
Yeah, and there, I did need to stress, there are more elephant organizations out there than we really have time to mention here, but I just want to highlight a few that stood out to me. The first I'm going to mention because it exists in my home state of Tennessee, the Elephant Sanctuary in Holdenwald, Tennessee. It's a sanctuary for captive elephants, you know, elephants that have been in zoos, elephants that have been in circuses, etc. They have 2,700 acres, and they provide three separate and protected natural habitat environments for Asian and African elephants. If you want to learn more about this, you go to www.elephants.com. They have a wonderful website. You can see profiles on the individual elephants. You can adopt an elephant. You can contribute monetarily to help feed the various elephants. It's a wonderful project. Also, check out the African Wildlife Fund at awf.org. Check out Save the Elephants at savetheelephants.org. And just one Asian elephant specific organization, there is elephantfamily.org.
I wanted to share two quick personal stories.
Okay.
I worked at a zoo once. I think we all know that.
Yes.
And on April Fool's Day, without fail, we would get a million phone calls. And do you know what people would say?
That the elephants are loose?
No. They would say, "May I speak with Ellie?" And you would say, "Ellie who?" And they would say, "Font."
Ah.
Over and over again. The second thing is that while I worked there, I had a recurring nightmare of elephants just stampeding the entire zoo. And I think that the guy, the lead singer for Aerosmith.
Steven Tyler?
Steven Tyler even showed up like leading it, like riding one of the elephants. And that's when I kind of knew that I might be having some sort of moral crisis when it came to captivity and animals.
You know, just to, not to, to just really pound in our crimes against elephants too much, but that, of course, brings up another example of something horrible we've done with elephants over the years, is use them in warfare. Like, how awful is that? Like, here is warfare, this particularly human creation, where we have one group trying to not only compete for resources, but to outright destroy other communities. And we've enlisted other animal species in this, not only horses, but the self-aware, empathic elephant.
Yeah, it is really tragic. And I should mention, because really I still am on the fence about zoos, and we could probably do an entire mm-hmm. episode about that, but you know, the zookeepers there are absolutely passionate about those animals. And they do take a lot of the money, and they put them into species survival programs for various animals, including elephants. And some people would say that you might not even know what an elephant was unless we had zoos or many other animals. So, you know, again, on the fence about that.
Yeah, it's a weird area to find yourself in. Cause like with my own son, again, he's crazy about elephants. So how can we not take him to the zoo to see the elephants? But at the same time, it just feels so sad to see them in such a small enclosure. But it kind of underlines the whole situation with elephants. We find ourselves in this place where we've already taken so much of their habitat. We've reduced their numbers. We've enslaved them for our own purposes. And we're slowly waking up and realizing, well, what can we do to make the best of this already crappy situation?
Yeah. And really, I think they come to symbolize the inherent problem that humans have with animals, that complex relationship that we've talked about, mm-hmm. Particularly when we've referenced the books, some we eat, some we love, and some we hate, and the ways that we behave toward animals.
All right. So there you have it. Little insight into the world of the elephant, the mind of the elephant, and the empathy of the elephant, and our empathy for the elephant. If you have some information you would like to share with us, you want to share an elephant story that you know particularly resonates with you, your own experience with elephants, or what you personally think about any of the information we've discussed here today, you can reach out to us in a number of different ways. As always, go to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you'll find our blog posts, you'll find our videos, you'll find every podcast episode dating back to the very beginning, as well as links out to all of our social media accounts. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Tumblr, we have Google+. We're Mind Stuff Show on YouTube. Be sure to follow that account if you want to continue to see video projects from us. And also, we're on SoundCloud. I mean, there's a whole list of things. You can check it out. StuffToBlowYourMind.com. And I think there's another way you can get in touch with us as well. And it does not involve trumpeting and listening to the ground.
Although, if you want to record some sort of files of trumpeting noises that you would like to make, you can do so, and you can include your thoughts about today's episode or any other episodes and send them via email to blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.